3, hit it. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today we're going to talk about pigeon dancing. And pigeon dancing is a sort of an expression that came out of the experimentation that was done by B.F. Skinner and some of the other behaviorists in the 1950s. And sort of Skinner's work was an offshoot and evolution of Pavlov, was the sort of most famous early behaviorist who conditioned dogs to salivate by ringing a bell every time they got food, and then found that after time, you could just ring the bell and they would start to salivate as if there was going to be food coming. And Skinner took that to the next level, and there were all sorts of experiments, and some of them were pretty horrible, but some of them were kind of fun. And one of the experiments that I just really enjoyed was they took pigeons and they taught them to peck at a certain button in the space that they were in, and when they would peck on the button, a pellet, a food pellet, would be released. And so they would quickly teach them, they would condition them to peck the button whenever they wanted food. But then they started playing around with variations on the theme. And one of the things that they did is they created a pigeon experimentational space where food was just delivered at random intervals. So there was literally, it was completely random when food would be delivered. There was no external cue. But what they noticed is that the pigeons would start repeating the behaviors that they had been doing the first time the food appeared. So if the pigeon had been looking off to the right when the food came randomly, the pigeons would start doing it again. They'd start moving their head continually to the right, thinking that that was going to create more food. And because occasionally more food would come, it would reinforce that until they could create a group of pigeons who always turned their head to the right just randomly throughout the day. Well, other pigeons might have been lifting a wing at the time when the food came, and they would do it again, and maybe it coincided with another random delivery of food, of reward. And so pretty soon you'd have these pigeons who were just flapping a wing, and they called it colloquial pigeon dancing. Now, we look at that and we either go, man, that's cruel to pigeons, or we go, that's kind of funny. But we don't see that human beings are pigeon dancers. Now, I'll give you one of my favorite examples that I talk about in my book, The Space Within. So in the South Sea Islands after World War II, there developed a series of bizarre rituals that became known as cargo cults. And what happened was a lot of these islands were used as staging areas during World War II, where the army would come in and they'd bring in planes and supplies to temporarily supply the soldiers. And then after that bit of the sea was under whichever army's control, they'd move on. And they'd leave behind the runway and a little bit of the equipment. So like the shack that the person, the control tower would get left behind, the runway would get left behind. Well, what happened was the natives, who didn't at that time have an understanding of how these things actually worked, they would get coconuts and they'd get two coconut shells and put them on their ears, kind of like the headphones that somebody in air traffic control would wear. And they would get people standing out on the runway with sticks and that they would kind of wave them like the light sticks that people would use to light a runway to show the plane where to land if it's coming in the evening. And they would do all these bizarre rituals, thinking that the reason that these giant planes came out of the sky with food and supplies was because of the actions of the men on the ground and what they were doing. They simply didn't understand that having headphones on your head or waving lights on a flat strip of land is not what calls forth an airplane, is not what calls forth the reward. It's not what calls forth the supplies. Now, again, we can hear about that. We can think how charming, how quaint. You know, that would never happen now because of the internet, whatever we would say. But what most of us don't see is how many of our own rituals for happiness and success are just as arbitrary, are just as made up, are just as misguided. So maybe for you, you have a list of things you think you need in order to be happy. Because when in the past you've had them, you were happy. Like, you know what? I'm happy when I've got my family around me. I'm happy when I've got a certain amount of money in the bank. I'm happy when I'm doing a particular kind of work. I'm happy when I'm with particular people. I'm happy when I'm having a certain amount of sex. I'm happy when the political climate is leaning a particular way. And because we can remember being happy getting pigeon pellets, airplanes landing with supplies when those conditions were present, we reverse engineer it in our mind and think, if we can get those conditions to be present again, we will be happy. Success is a remarkably similar thing. A lot of success, in my experience, 30 years working with some of the most successful people and companies on the planet, were successful because they were in the right place at the right time. But because that doesn't sound right, because we're not okay with random chance, we want some degree of control over our environment, we make up, it must have been because I was working this many hours a day. It must have been because we had a clear purpose that time. It must have been because we always took time every day to plan out our day. And so again, we try to reverse engineer our success based on whatever environmental conditions and behaviors were present at the time where we first experienced it. Now, here's the thing. What if all of your preconditions for happiness and your preconditions for success were made up, were essentially superstition, were no more real than a pigeon flapping its wing trying to get food from a random food delivery system, or an island native putting coconuts on his head to try and call forth the giant birds from the sky? What if nothing was a given and everything was up for grabs? So your homework from today, if you like to do homework, is to start to notice, what are the preconditions I have for happiness? What are the preconditions? What do I think has to be in place for me to be happy, for me to be successful? And just to open up to the possibility that what looks like a cause-effect relationship may be nothing more than a pigeon dance. Have fun, learn heaps, and happy exploring. I'll speak with you soon.